Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into this best of edition of Prime Time today. You're going to hear me say this a lot, so get ready to get annoyed. But due to COVID safety precautions, we're not having a live edition of Prime Time today. It's going to be a best of. Hopefully everybody's okay and we'll be back to normal shows tomorrow. But best of today, I've built out 4 hours for you. The first hour has a theme. So does the second hour, actually, but we'll get to that when we get to that hour. The first hour is Iceland. I've got four different segments, two of which are the direct segment that Suk came back and discussed Iceland. And then two others are later in the week when he brought stuff back up from Iceland and led the funny conversation. So that is what you can expect here in the first hour. But the first segment is the very first segment when he returned from his long trip to Iceland. And here we go, beginning this best of. Enjoy.
Hey, what it do?
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Yes.
We've got a present for you.
Look at that.
Do you know what this is?
I do know what this is.
How do you know what this is?
What you just said to Mike.
Oh. Hey, do you? You were listening.
I was listening.
You weren't supposed to listen. That's like when you whispered to the kids, hey, go get mom's last present.
Yeah, but you were like a foot away from me, so... You know,
well, we thought you weren't paying attention.
It was hard not to hear.
So tell the people what this is.
This is the Icelandic national anthem.
Yes.
And it is a wonderful national anthem. It sounds like a church anthem.
It's kind of disappointing, I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's beautiful, yeah. But I want a little more like...
You want some gusto.
Well, I feel like the Canada one really moves you.
I will say, if I'm going national anthems, my top three... I go O Canada 1, Flower of Scotland 2, Star Spangled Banner 3. I do like the Star Spangled Banner. But that's my power rankings. And my three national anthems, Canada, Scotland. Scotland gets credit because they curse in theirs and they call King Edward you bastard, which is amazing. And then then the Star Spangled Banner, it's a classic.
Yeah, this you're right. It sounds like a church.
Yeah, it sounds like a church hymn.
Hymn.
Yeah.
Hymn. This was very pretty, though.
On the ramparts we watched. We have a great anthem. We really do.
Yeah, ours is good.
Yeah, like
Canada's
it.
Is better.
Canada's is amazing.
But ours is better than this. Welcome back. It's the triumphant radio return of Jason Sukanik.
Just good or bad, depending on how you feel about me being on this program.
He was in Iceland, guys. Iceland.
12 days.
Hence the Icelandic national anthem. 12 days in Iceland.
12 days in Iceland.
It went fast.
It did. We definitely had that. It was like the last day, and we were all kind of like, oh my gosh. Like when we went... I thought this is either going to be an amazing time that goes by fast or people are just going to ready to be done because it's a 2 week road trip. And
yeah, you just drive,
you
right?
You just drive. So I thought it would go one of two ways. I don't think there'd be a middle ground. And it was amazing. Like I said, I don't think it's a recency bias. I've had the fortune of traveling around the world and seeing, I think this is like 19 or 20 for me countries. And this was my favorite trip that I've ever taken.
Me.
It's probably not for everybody. Like if you're just looking for like the, you know, to sit around and drink Mai Tais, then no. But if you're up for a little adventure and kind of and being active and kind of getting out, there's just no more beautiful place with nicer people and just everywhere you go, it's a postcard. Like some people were asking like the photos that I was posting. Some people were like, are those just off the internet? And I was like, no, those are my kids and my special lady friend just taking those with an iPhone. And yet
very pretty.
Yeah, everyone just, you're like, oh my God, I can't pretty. Believe how beautiful this is.
Very pretty, like me.
Yes. The Italian beefcake himself.
Yes. It was very pretty. Now, did you go all the way around the whole country?
We did. Now, you know, there's
a... That's a very big country.
It is a... Well, it's not actually not. You can drive...
Oh, it isn't?
You can drive it in like 26 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Now, that is, they have a... They call it the Ring Road, which yeah. goes around, but you can't... Like, there are some of the, like the fjords up north.
Fjords.
Like, that's a different animal. And you got to... Like, there's all kinds of little nooks and crannies in the middle of the country, but you have to have like a... You got to have not just like a Jeep or like a Bronco. You have to have like a serious four-wheel drive. Like you see these, the best way to put it, they're like monster trucks, but like vans. And you have to either rent those or you have to like get a tour to go to a lot of these places. Like they have reindeer herds up north.
Cool.
And I guess you can see like these herds of thousands of reindeer. And I wanted to see it. And the person was like, yeah, you can't. They're shy. They stay away from everybody. And they said, you basically have to get a tour. You have to have one of these super vehicles to take the roads. And twice we tried going up into kind of the northern regions. And we were in a, we were in like a van that you would see like an electrician, like drive around.
Like a Sprinter van.
Yeah, but like crappier, like a it was a,
is but
it,
useful.
Yeah, but it was a two-wheel drive Puget teepee is what it was called. And let's just say that there were two times we tried to venture into these areas and we turned around immediately and realized that this was not going to end well
yeah,
for
I'm,
us.
I'm looking at Google Maps here and I can see the Ring Road because, well, it's a road that wraps around the entire country.
It's the Ring Road.
But there's also a bunch of little like mini roads that go up towards like the little, yeah. I guess, fjords.
Yep.
Yeah, that looks...
There's the Puget teepee.
Yeah, you see the old teepee?
Yeah.
That was my was my stallion for the last 2 weeks.
It looks like the eastern part of the country is the most beautiful.
It's there's
like a huge mountain national park and it goes right onto the water there.
It is a trip because you go from like you can go from like this vast lava field and then you go from that and then an hour later you're in the most beautiful green mountains and then an hour from that you're in a glacier. And then an hour from that, you're in a live volcano. It's just...
Did you throw money into the live volcano?
No, we couldn't. So
what?
The first day we were there, we went... the volcano was still active. And we were trying to find it. Because like there was, I guess there's multiple ways to get there. And we were trying to, you know, figure this thing out. Because they said it was like a 2.5 hour hike to get up to it. And there's really no signs or anything. We're like, where the hell is it? And we found a lady with a camera and we're like, okay, she looks like, you know, she's coming there. And she was coming back down and she said that it wasn't safe to go up. She said it was too cloudy, too windy. So she goes, I'm not going to do it. And we were like, eh, we're going to try anyways. So we hiked up this mountain and we got to where you could see the lava field and it was amazing because it was still smoking. It had been erupting for like 3 months. Mm. And as far as you could see, there was this, you know, mile wide and God knows how far it went back, just this lava field. And you could walk on the end of it and your feet would get hot. Like if you stood in one spot, your feet got hot. And then you could see pockets where the rock hadn't completely hardened and it was steaming. And so you could, like, it was right underneath the surface.
You had jump on it?
No. No.
Why not?
It was
adventure.
Yeah. We were like, hey, kids, we're going to stick to the outskirts here. And then you hike up this mountain, and we got to the top of it, and it was brutal because it's right on the water, and it was raining, and the wind was whipping. But we got to the very top, and I posted a photo. And when you get to the top of it, you're above the mouth of it. And it's not like it's like spewing anymore, right? It's just, it's coming out, it's open, and there's some still spilling out. And you could smell it, you could feel it, but the fog was so thick, you couldn't see more than 3 feet in front of you.
Mm.
And so you knew it was right there, but you couldn't really, you couldn't really see it. You were just staring. It was this amazing thing because you could turn behind you and there was this perfect view of the ocean, but you turned the other way and it was like staring into like something out of Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
It was like, there was like a magic fog. And that's where we were like, I don't think we should go any further because the wind was really blowing to the point where you could get on your toes and lean into it. And being a big guy, you wouldn't move. Like, you just leaned into the wind, and then not being able to see, we were like, I think we've
seems gone. Dangerous.
Yeah, we were like, we've gone far enough. And the guy said, if you go up, you can go around kind of the back side of it. But he said, you probably still won't see it with this kind of fog. And he was like, I wouldn't recommend it today. And we were like, you got it. So we just came back down. So we did see the active volcano, but we couldn't see the mouth of it and the lava bubbling over.
No penis museum?
Oh, no. We saw the penis museum.
You said you didn't go in.
So this was a lie. So
what?
When
you were lying to us?
I was lying to you, but for good reason. So my brother picked me up.
Mike, what the hell?
And we have...
It's a good reason.
We have a grand tradition of whenever I travel,
oh,
I get my brother a penis.
Right.
Like, he's got like five or six of like different penis-shaped bottle openers from around the world. And he was like, stop giving them to me. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And so when he picked me up, he was like, just get it out of the way. And I was like, no, we got something for you. And I said, we didn't get a chance to go to the penis museum. It was closed. And so when he was dropping me off, you asked me if I went, and I hadn't given him the gift yet. So I had to, sorry about the ruse. So he was convinced that I hadn't been to the penis museum and that I had a real gift for him. And then when he opened it, surprise penis, which is the best penis.
Wait, so, but you could have gotten a penis even without the penis museum, right? Aren't penises famous there?
I did not see any penis-related gift other than at the penis museum. Oh. And let me tell you, they had everything.
Yeah, I bet.
And you, your email may have ended up on the penis board.
Well, that's fantastic. Is that my Odyssey email?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
There's a big giant board, right? This big giant whiteboard in the museum, right, as you're exiting the museum. And there's just a big realistic penis that has been drawn on there, and it says, leave your thoughts. And someone may have written for a good time. Please contact.
You put my email?
Yeah.
Great. This is great.
I wonder what you're going to get in your email now.
Hopefully some good stuff.
No, that was
some
like
DPs.
I'm going to go to Iceland and not go to the penis museum.
I mean, come on.
All right, we got more segments of Sook's Iceland stories here on this best of edition of Primetime. This is a best of because due to safety precautions for COVID, Isaac and Sook are not here today. Hopefully back tomorrow. But coming up next, part two of that initial segment when Sook returned from Iceland, as he has more tales to tell from that wonderful sounding country. This is a best of edition of Primetime here on The Fan. Best of edition of Primetime. Due to COVID safety precautions, we are not having a live edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sook today, so you have a best of. This first hour's theme is Sook's trip to Iceland. So the first two segments of this, the one that we just listened to and now this one, are all the same segment. I cut it in two because it was very long and they don't know how to stay on the clock. And this is part two of his initial thoughts on his first show back from Iceland. Enjoy.
Did you go to Blue Lagoon, Iceland?
Yeah, first day.
Wait, what's that?
It's right near the volcano. I looked up the erupting volcano and I was just seeing where it was in the country. And it's like, I don't know how close that is on the map, but it's really close to it. It appears to be
about 20 minutes away. So that was our first day. We landed and we took off at 3. We took off at 3 in the afternoon and we landed at 4:35 in the morning. This is like an 7 or 8 hour difference. So we decided to power through. So we first thing it is, we got the teepee and we got something to eat and we went right to the volcano. And then after the volcano, we went to the Blue Lagoon and it was 45 degrees outside. Whoa. 50 degrees and rainy. And then you go out and I don't know, like I said, it's just this massive geothermal pool and the water was 106 degrees. And so you just, and there's the salt and minerals on the ground. And so then there's a swim up bar. And so we just spent the next 4 hours in the world's greatest natural hot tub with the most beautiful scenery. And we drank. So
that'd be a good way to relax after you're trying to power through a long day after landing early in the morning. You just lay there in the pool for a while.
Yeah.
Or in the hot tub.
Now, how did they talk?
Using their mouth and tongues.
We did not. Almost everyone speaks English. We found, now when you get up to the northern parts out in the country, everyone in Reykjavik spoke English. We had zero problem getting around. Trying to pronounce anything, good luck. Look up any city, any town, any road in Iceland and give it a whirl.
Well, the name of the volcano is Fagradalsfjall.
Exactly. In fact, when we were at the rental car place, we asked the guy, we're like, hey, is this the right volcano? And he looked at it and he was like, yeah, that's the one. And I said, how do you pronounce that? He goes, I don't know. He goes, I'm from Poland. He goes, I'm not even going to try that. And we're like, oh, all right. And then we asked someone else who is from Iceland. He had lived there like 10 years. And he goes, I don't know, man. He's like, I can take a stab at it, but it's not hard to get around. Everyone speaks some form of English. And like I said, every day was just it was amazing. I everyone always railed on the food and said the food was sucky. I thought the food was amazing.
Really?
I had no issues. Like, there wasn't one bad meal that we had. A lot of lamb, which I've eaten lamb, but it wasn't like, it's not like high on my list. Boy, I got a taste for the lamb and the mutton. It's everything there has lamb.
Lamb is delightful.
It is phenomenal. I had a lamb shank there that was one of the best meals I've ever had. Like, these root vegetables, a lot of stews, expensive. The food and the beer, really expensive. Mm. So we had one night out.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
You know, we kind of got after it a little bit, and that was a bar tab that hurt a little bit. But, you know, hey, when in Iceland.
I think they say when in Rome, dude.
When in Rome. Yeah. Well, I don't know if Rome is this expensive, but just like, it's like $10 beers. Like, it's Vegas. You're just, yeah. you're in Vegas.
10 out of 10. That's great.
10 out of 10.
Iceland.
Yep.
And love it.
My final, the natural stuff, like the lot of the Lord of the Rings stuff. I went swimming in the waterfall where they created the White Walkers.
Oh, cool.
Which
what do you mean created the White Walkers?
That's Game of Thrones, by the way.
Or Game of Thrones. What did I say?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Sorry.
That's Game of Thrones. New Zealand.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, where in the scene where they first create the fairies, the tree people create the White Walker. It's in front of this gorgeous mountain in a waterfall.
Mm.
And you can go there.
That was in Iceland.
Yeah. And I took a plunge in the waterfall. I said I was going to go into one waterfall before I left, and I did. And it was very cold. And I was not actually able to make it underneath the waterfall. It was too, I couldn't get close enough. I swam as hard as I could, and I just, the rush of water is too much.
Would you like to take a stab at pronouncing what I found on the map as one of the longer names in Iceland?
Yeah, I do.
It is spelled HOFDHAKAUPSTADHUR. That's the name of a town.
That would be Hoftakapister. Kapasquata here. Hoftakapstader.
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 Everywhere we went, we would ask.
That's what it
is. I agree.
We'd be like, hey, what's the name of this town? And then they would say it, and we're like, yeah, whatever.
Do they drive? This is a good question somebody asked. Do they drive on the right or the left?
No, normal. Same as us.
Same as us.
Same as us.
Normal.
Normal. Yeah. But we
normal for us.
So when we got there, we had requested an automatic, and we were all going to kind of split the driving duties. And then we went out to the TP. It was a manual. And I was like, what? And so then I went back inside, and I was like, hey, we asked for an automatic. And he goes, oh, yeah, we don't have those. It's a manual. And he's like, is that a problem? I was like, no. But I was the only one that could drive. So that was the only. Like,
so you couldn't like actively be watching everything? You had to pay attention to the road?
No, I had to drive. Luckily, I can drive a stick. And I did teach my son to drive.
That would have been SOL on that one.
I did teach my son to drive a stick in Iceland. Not enough to like where I let him drive out on the ring roads, but yeah, he learned that. And so it was kind of one of those, kind of a cool moment. Hopefully he'll remember. And then kind of the cherry on top, I got to meet Magnus Vermagnuson, 4-time world's strongest man.
Whoa.
Which was amazing. And
was that guy you posted a picture with?
Yeah. The big guy.
He didn't look that big to me.
Well, he's shrunk. I mean, this was what, 15 years ago that he was the world's strongest man. So he was my size. Like he's probably,
how'd you meet him? Would you just call him in the phone book?
Yeah. So he's got a gym there, and it's called the Jakobol. It's translates to Nest of Giants. And I was like, well, crap, I gotta go to the Nest of Giants. And, so we drove to the gym thinking, I just wanted to buy a t-shirt or a sweatshirt, right? I didn't expect him to be there. And we get there, and the gym is closed. It's locked. And there's just someone in the background. So I knock on the door, And the world's largest woman answers the door. Her neck was bigger than mine, like sports bra, like tights in the middle of some ungodly workout. And she just says, owner, not here. And I was like, can I come in and like, just like, I just like to buy a t-shirt. And she just goes, come back later, and shuts the door on me. I was like, oh, so I found him on Instagram and I sent a message and said, hey, I'm a big fan. I watched it growing up. I was like, is there a time I might be able to come by? And I got a message back like 3 days later saying, yeah, Magnus is usually here from like 2 to 5.
3 days.
Yeah, like 3 days later. And so when we circled back to Reykjavik,
they were hoping like across the country. By
yeah, they were hoping you were gone.
Well, we circled back the last day we spent in Reykjavik again. So I sent them that. They just said, hey, if you're not certain someone's going to be here, send a message. So I sent a message and I said, hey, is it okay if I come by? And they said, yeah, Magnus should be here. And I'm like, holy crap. And so then I'm getting ready to leave, and now the message changes, and now the message on Instagram is, hey, I have to go somewhere at 3, so you might want to hurry up. And I was like, oh, crap. So I said, hey, is this Magnus? He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm here. So we haul ass over to the gym, and it's like a membership gym, like a private club. So everyone has their own key. So when we roll up there, he's just sitting in the chair. And he was waiting for me. And so I couldn't have been a nicer guy. He spent 25 minutes with me, 25 minutes to 30 minutes, telling me stories about the world's strongest man, gave me a tour of the gym. Couldn't have been any nicer. Let me buy a couple of shirts. And then when I left, he left. He was just there for me.
That's good customer service.
I was like, oh my God. He goes, next time you're here, he's like, come on by. We'll work out.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
You can take some gym selfies with him.
Boy, he couldn't have been any nicer. And then the highlight was, me and Mike were talking about this. I met one of the coolest dudes ever in a town of 400 people. We were driving around and we had a long drive that day and we needed something to break it up. So my lady was trying to find some place to pull over and get something to eat and maybe, you know, see something. And there was just this little harbor town kind of on the north side. And they had like an egg exhibit, like some artist had made a bunch of like eggs and they placed them on a seawall. And she was like, maybe this. And we thought, well, we'll just get out to stretch our legs. And so we go stretch our legs and we got something to eat. And then at the back of kind of this dead end road was just this house. And my kids had stumbled upon it. And I ended up, they were way ahead of me and they kind of flagged me down. And it was just this house. I don't know how they even found it. And it was just this guy that he had like skeletons and like, he had like whale skeletons and all these different
penguin bones.
Yeah.
Was Jody in there?
Yeah.
See Jody Allen in there?
I think she would have loved this. And it was a lot of just carved stuff. And we pulled in and there was like this, it was like a beluga whale skeleton, this big skeleton right at the beginning. And he had a sign on it. And in Norse mythology, there's like a serpent, the world serpent that like kind of wraps around the world. Like it's just part of the mythology. And I have that tattooed on my arm. And my son goes, hey dad, don't you have that? And I was like, yeah. And he heard this and he goes, you have it. And I pulled up my sleeve. And once he saw my tattoo, we just started talking and he spent 2 hours with us. And he was telling us, he was like a sage. He was telling us about the history of Iceland, the history of Vikings, what this meaning of this symbol was, and all of the, he took us in the back of his house and he showed us this artwork. And it was like one of the most amazing conversations I've ever had with someone. And we spent an hour and a half, 2 hours there. And then we had to get going because we still had a long drive ahead of us. And I didn't want to go. I could have listened to this guy. He was so generous. We bought a couple things from him. And then he gave me a couple gifts. And like his parting thing was, there's like these old Viking ruins. And he gave me like this piece of driftwood that he had carved with some whale ink. And he had carved like these magic like ruins, this spell. And the last kind of ruin was, it meant like eternity in this life or the next, right? And it was this kind of the final piece of this, I guess like this carved spell that he gave me. And he's like, hey, I know you have to get going. And I was like, hey, I could stay here forever. I was like, this has been amazing. And I said, I won't forget you. I said, this has been one of the highlights of my trip. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he's in his big, thick Iceland accent. And he said, Jason, he said, I'm sure we'll meet again in this life or the next.
Yeah.
And which was the final little kind of magic save. Yes. And he kind of gave me a smile and a wink, and then he went back in his house.
Oh, yeah. You and he in heaven?
Or well, hell? Valhalla.
Valhalla.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, you guys are going to party. Iceland. And that right there, that story is why travel is great.
Yep. It was.
Take your kids traveling.
It was just one of those things that you just.
Yeah,
nothing awesome. Was planned. We just stumbled upon it, and that guy made an impression on me that I will never forget.
Well, that's an awesome trip. I'm glad you got to do that. I'm glad your kids got to do that. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
Iceland.
Yeah, highly recommend.
Somebody said, I don't mean this the wrong way, but Iceland sounds like one big craft fair. That's about right.
With the most amazing scenery you'll ever see.
Beautiful.
All right, that's part two of the four-part Iceland hour here on this best of edition of Primetime. If you missed it, due to COVID safety precautions, we will not be having a live edition of Primetime today, just a best of. The next two segments, the rest of this hour, were actually later in the week or later in the month, but Suk was recounting a couple of things from Iceland that led to funny stories. So that's coming up next. This is a best of. First, I have a SportsCenter update.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back into this best of edition of Primetime. Due to COVID safety precautions, we are not having a live edition of Primetime with Isaac and Soup. Just a best of today. So I was scanning for segments for the best of, and this one was only labeled on the uploaded podcast as pooping strategies, which of course meant I was going to click on it to see what segment it was. I didn't realize it was an Iceland segment, so it fit perfectly into this first hour's theme of Iceland. And this is, he found signs saying don't poop in the national parks, and it led to a conversation, which is very Primetime-esque. Enjoy.
When we went to, we were at like the, there's like a glacier park in Iceland that we went to. It's just this most beautiful place, and they've got like portable bathrooms, but not like crappy like porta-johns, like the nice ones you see at like nice golf courses for tournaments. Like trailers that they roll in, and then there's a series of bathrooms. And they're actually pretty nice. But there is a sign that was telling you how to poop. So there was a right way and a wrong way to poop. And the wrong way with the big X through it was your feet up on the toilet and you pooping into the back of the toilet. They had to put that sign up there and tell you not to owl on the toilet. And I laughed my ass off and was like, how is that possible? And then I thought, that had to be more than one or two people that did that to necessitate every stall in those bathrooms had that sign up.
Yeah. So what are they?
Someone is pooping.
So
people were pooping.
They're missing.
Either that or I guess they were going into the back tank. Although there weren't tanks. So they were just missing. They were literally sitting, putting their feet on the toilet and then squatting and probably blowing out the back of the wall.
Well, that's, aren't they just trying to hover? Like they're not, they're trying to not sit down, right?
The whole thing.
Because they think it's gross.
The whole thing baffled and confused me. And yet.
I'm also confused by it.
There was
you know,
signs.
You got to have it. That's what government's for, right? Got to warn us. Got to save us from ourselves because people is dumb.
Someone in the Icelandic government had to be like, guys, what are we going to do here? Like people can't figure out how to. And my question was, what country was that from? Because I got to believe that that's no one from the United States, right? Or Mexico or Canada is, because we've been all over both of those places and I've never seen a sign warning people not to put your feet on the toilet seat and then blow out the back of it. So what country is that like the normal way of doing things that Iceland had to be like, I'm sorry, people from wherever, but that's not how we do it here.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, are you calling, so wait, I'm... If they're porta-johns, they have one hole.
One hole. No. It was like it's...
So they're... Okay.
You
so
think like a portable classroom,
okay,
right?
So what they were doing was they were giving them upper deckers. That's an upper decker.
I got to go back and look at the photo because I think it was like normal... Like,
and that's a practical... That's like them being...
No. This did not... I'm gonna have to go back and double check, but it looked like regular toilet. Like when you go to a public toilet, there is no back. It's just the piping... And then the toilet with like the open seat in front. There's no back to it.
I texted you guys one of my favorite pictures of all time, which is a graph of the different ways you could potentially sit on a toilet.
I'm excited that you have a favorite picture of all time.
That's
awesome.
This was a meme from like 5 years ago.
Whoa.
And my friend and I, every time we see it now, it is hysterical laughter. So I had finally found it and saved it on my phone forever.
I like the one where the guy's basically in the toilet and his head sticking out.
Well, I will tell you that I was so intrigued by this sign because I didn't have my phone on me. I made my lady come into the bathroom to take a photo of it. I was like, this needs to be documented because I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that someone from a national organization, because it was at a national park, had to print out these signs and put them up. It was that's not one or two people doing this.
That was probably a pretty exciting time for them. I mean, I can't imagine they're doing much.
And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we've got
a job for you guys.
What are we gonna
time to act. Time to put that ranger education that you have to work. We need you to make some poop signs. All right, here we go. Okay, so the back of the toilet. Yeah, so they're trying to get... Yeah, okay, so the back of the toilet is not... It is not the upper decker because the back does not open.
Yes.
The back it's only has the flush button.
Yes.
Okay, so what the sign is saying is... Is this a unisex?
No.
It's only men?
It was separate. There was a men's and a
so
woman's.
So this is in the men's?
Yes, that was in the men's.
Okay, so what men are doing, some men appear to be squatting.
It's an owl.
Because they don't want their butt to touch the seat. And so they're sitting on the seat like a, think Chris Kattan from SNL.
Yeah.
You know,
doing the
bit?
Little monkey guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
But your butt is then above the back of the toilet.
Like no, it isn't. Look at the sign. It's not above the back of the toilet. It's just on the back of the your poop. Now look, it's all about the angle at this point.
Yeah. There's no way you can make that shot.
Yeah, that's a tough shot. Tougher shot.
Yeah. What number is it closest to on the toilet picture?
Oh.
I sent you.
Okay, hold on. Let me check that. Here.
I tweeted it out, by the way.
Some fine research here.
At MikeLynch 27 if you'd like to see the picture I'm discussing.
Yeah, so that's number 6. They don't want you to do a number 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
No number 6s.
And the number 6 could work if you're skinny and you poop straight.
Yeah, if you got no ass.
But, you know, some people,
yeah,
things get a little wild in there, you know.
I just could not
fathom. You also have to have good feet strength to not slip off the toilet into the water.
Right, yeah, you got to be a pretty small guy to do that.
Yeah, and there's nothing to kind of hold on to there. I just like that there's just a big red X that says no. And then a guy sitting on a toilet normal that just says yes. And I would also like to know, has anyone ever walked into that bathroom, started to climb up on the toilet, owl style, and been like, oh, what? I've been doing this wrong all my life? Well, thank you, Iceland National Park. My whole life has been changed.
Well, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like that. But
nor had I, to the point I needed to document it.
I love that number 9 in the picture as the guy with his knees up to his chest, fully submerged in the toilet.
All right.
Ooh, pooping was such a it was like such a complex issue.
It is complex because again, people is dumb.
Yes.
Well, there's the pooping strategies segment. If you're listening now and you just tuned in, this is a best of edition of Primetime. If you want to find that picture, it's a couple months old on my Twitter, so you can go find it if you want to just scroll through the pictures that I've tweeted. Due to COVID safety precautions, this is not a live edition of Primetime. We're doing a best of today. One more segment here in this hour in what I'm calling Sook's Iceland Hour. And this is stories from Iceland, but also a story from elsewhere. And it's labeled Sook the Scofflaw. That is next as we wrap up hour one here on this best of edition of Primetime on The Fan.
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back into this best of edition of Primetime. Due to COVID safety precautions, we are not live with Isaac and Sook. Just a best of today. We're wrapping up the Sook Iceland Hour as I labeled it for today. This is the final segment labeled Sook the Scofflaw. He discusses a bit of what happened in Iceland and then also tells a bit of a story of when he was in the soccer riots, which he is wont to do usually. So here you go. Enjoy.
Everything's automated there. I got all kinds. I got parking tickets. I got hit with all kinds of stuff.
They were watching you.
Yeah, they're watching you. Big Brother is always watching. So when you're done, like you're getting ready to leave, you get a bill. Like when you're leaving the country.
Here's everything you did wrong.
Yeah. And then you
and here's how much you owe us for that.
And you can't dispute it because they bring up the digital photo and it's like
definitely you.
Like,
did I ever tell you about the time I was taking an Uber and one of those, you know, those flash cams like at the intersection?
Yeah.
This guy was running a red light and he knew it. So he ducked.
Oh, did it work?
He says it can.
Because they have to have like a clear photo of you, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And usually they are very clear.
Sure.
It's like, that's not, that's not me. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
This guy, he knew he was going a little late into the intersection, right? It was yellow and probably about to turn red or whatever.
Yeah.
So he knew it was a camera intersection. And he just, he ducked his head down kind of towards the radio, you know?
Yeah.
For a split second.
I kind of like it.
And I don't know if that, he said it works. Yeah. He said he's done it before.
When I was leaving, like the, when
don't do that, kids.
When I was turning in the rental car, the rental car hits me with the ticketed bill. And I, they
how
got,
much was it?
God, it was like $190.
Yeah.
Because they got me like on five different things.
God.
I didn't know.
You scofflaw.
I had no clue.
Burying the lead here.
So there was one, like, they're like, you went to a national park. And I was like, what do you mean a national, like, national park? And they're like, yeah, you were supposed to.
You didn't pay.
You didn't pay. And I was like, where were you supposed to pay? And the guy goes, you do it online. And I said, I didn't see anything. I said, I don't even remember going there. And he turns the monitor around, and there's my big dumb ass, like, literally walking into the park.
Well,
like,
how did they know that? From your license plate?
Yeah.
From the car?
Yeah, from the car.
So they followed the car.
Yeah.
And knew it was at a, and they cross-checked it with who had paid for the national park entry.
Yeah, and they get
dude,
you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them.
Everything there is automated.
I'd have charged you double.
Yeah, well, they do, because there's like a service fee. Like, they don't really tell you that you're supposed to pay it. Like, you're when you're going through a tunnel, there's just a big thing and it says toll. But you're like, where do I, there's no booth or anything. So you just go through this tunnel and you're like, well, where am I supposed to pay? And you don't know. So you just keep going. And so if you don't pay it within like an hour of going through the tunnel, then they write you a ticket and then you're forced to pay it because the rental car, like they have your stuff. So I got dinged for three of those. I got dinged for a parking one, and I got dinged for something else. I just showed up, and they just, and every one of them.
Good.
The guy was like, the guy goes, "Here's you, here's you," and it was all clear as day photos.
Nailed.
Yeah, I got nailed with
it's
five
nice
separate
that they
tickets.
Don't like get you in trouble. They're like, just pay for it.
Yeah,
like that's nice.
Yeah, like we want you out of here. Just give us $190, and we'll let you go.
And the rental company goes, "Look, we charge a fee, but because you had so many, we're just charging you for one." And
hell
I was like,
yeah.
"Oh well, thanks."
What if you said, "Look, I'll get out of your hair, but I'm only paying you $100. You think they would have taken it?
I don't know how all that works.
Because you're leaving.
Yes.
Like, what are they going to do, arrest you?
Well, that was kind of my thing.
Probably.
I owe, to be quite honest, I owe a fairly expensive ticket in Ireland and Scotland.
What?
But I just left.
Wow.
And was like, whatever.
International scofflaw.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Well, like.
You son of a bitch.
I'm mildly intrigued if I go back. Because I would like to go back, and this was many, many moons ago.
There's a warrant?
Well, I don't know. Like, if I cross over into Ireland and Scotland.
If you get caught doing something else, they'll see it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's that was like, what, 2004, 2003, whenever I was over there? I don't know, something like that. So, I mean, they are, they're quite old. But, yes, I did have two fairly decent tickets waiting for me, one in Scotland, one in Ireland. But I just left. Like, they gave me a ticket, and I was like, well, why would I pay this? I'm leaving, and so I left. So I kind of thought maybe Iceland might be that same sort of thing, although, to be fair, I didn't really know that I had gotten tickets. The only one that I thought was weird was the tunnel. The two parking tickets, I didn't know. The tunnel one, I saw that it was a toll, but there was no place to pay it, and who pulls over? You're doing 70, right? Who pulls over and is like, hey, let me figure that out. Now, I probably should have Googled it and been like, oh, I need to do this. But I kind of thought, well, write me a ticket. Good luck getting it. And they nailed me. They did get it. Everything over there is automated. Everything is camera related.
Now, we've got somebody texting us here.
Yeah.
On the show here.
Mm-hmm.
Saying traffic cam lights have no legal authority to force you to pay a ticket. All you do is ignore it like I did, or worse, write a long letter back disputing it, and they will not and cannot do anything.
Here or overseas?
Is that true?
Here. We've heard that.
Is that true?
I don't know. I've heard that a bunch of times. I mean, I've had one traffic camera ticket, and I just paid it. I was like, whatever.
I did two. Hmm. I've had two.
Well,
here's another piece of advice. How about this? Lower your visor, raise your head.
Good.
That's what somebody else said. They said, yeah, they can't see your face.
But with this, they knew I had rented the car. And I was the only one authorized to drive the car. So I kind of think with that, you had
No, that was another big bald guy.
Someone else. They're not authorized to drive the car. And then the parking ones were pretty good because it was kind of hilarious because it was me getting out of the car. Like, you could clearly see me like, and, you know, you kind of had me dead to rights. I didn't think about disputing it because you clearly had me dead to rights. Now, the other two, I don't know, because I was actually written physical tickets in Ireland and Scotland. And I was like, okay, they're like address. And I was like, hotel. But the cop had to know that I wasn't going to pay that, right? Because he's like, you have, you know, so much time to blah, blah, blah. He writes me the ticket. That never even crossed my mind to pay those tickets.
Well, that says something about you. But
would you have paid the ticket?
Of course.
You would not.
Of course I would. I do it here. Why wouldn't I do it there?
Because you're leaving.
Yeah, but see, I did it.
Huh.
I pay it.
Interesting.
I owe them. I effed up. I'm not like you. I'm a good person.
Well, I feel like I'm a good person too.
Uh-huh.
But one, you know, it's, one was, you know, for a little.
You have loose morals. They're very flexible.
Sure. I have a Ben, but don't break. Yeah, right?
You can win. I'm a man of principle.
You can win championships that way, right? The Colts did it. I play a very aggressive offense.
Well, you're no Peyton Manning.
And therefore, you know, my defense is going to give up some yards, but we bow our back and, you know, we move on.
Here's a guy who says, always a good idea to divert your vision while running a red light through an intersection.
This guy,
just in case.
Yeah, this guy here says that he got pulled over when he came back to Amsterdam. He got hit with an old ticket.
Yeah, okay. Hmm. I mean, it's in their system. Although somebody else looked up the statute of limitations for you in Ireland, and it was only 6 years, so.
Good luck.
You got away with it.
Good luck. Well, the Scotland one was for public drinky drinks, and then the Ireland one was.
You can't public drinky drink?
Well, you can. I think I just.
What'd you do? You got a public intoxication ticket?
Yeah.
In Ireland?
No, in Scotland.
In Scotland?
In Scotland.
God, how drunk do you got to be to... You're among the Scottish.
I know. Well, we all kind of... It was like a group thing.
Jeez.
You remember the soccer riot? It was that...
No.
I got involved
in that fight you talked about?
Yeah, yeah.
I do remember that.
It was that same day.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was kind of. Right. It was a group sort of thing, so everyone got a ticket.
I see.
And we were, you know, the guys that I were with, they didn't seem very concerned by it, and they were like, nah. And so I was like, well, whatever. And then the Ireland one was just a speeding ticket. So I was like, eh.
Well.
Hey, but it sounds like 6 years. Sounds like I'm safe as kittens.
I'm calling Ireland. I'm getting the head of tickets on the line, and we're going to talk this out.
There was part of me, because before Iceland, we were thinking about going back to Ireland or Scotland. But both of those with COVID, we were like, we're not going to mess with that because they had a lot of restrictions. But there was part of me that was mildly, I'm not going to say concerned, but wondering what would happen if I entered the country and if they pulled that up and were like, sir,
right,
you have something like, is there fines?
Well, isn't that what they do here? I mean,
I don't know.
They have it.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's your name, your license, you know.
Right. None of that's changed.
Right.
But are there fines associated with that? Is there like a library late fee? And if so, what's the late fee on like 19 years? Oh.
Well, hopefully so much you can't pay it and they throw you in the slammer.
That seems like a lot.
Just for a speeding ticket, which is proof that you should just take care of it when it happens.
Well, look, I asked around and the people told me, you're fine.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right, that's the end of hour one here on this best of edition of Primetime, the Iceland Hour. I will be podcasting all of these hours today, so if you want to go back and listen to any of the stuff, if you missed it originally, you can find it on the Les Schwab Tires podcast on 1080thefan.com and the Odyssey app. Now, hour two also is themed, and this is a way more sportsy hour coming up than the first hour. This hour is quiz theme. Each quiz was two segments long, the first of which was Souk being quizzed on the Pro Football Focus quarterback rankings before the season started. And the second is the infamous backup quarterback game also before the season started. So that is coming up in hour two on this best of. Due to COVID safety precautions, we are not live with Isaac and Souk today, but that's coming up next. This is a best of edition of Primetime on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.